I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is Live and Local, your connection to local music and theater. And my guests today are Ross Bundy, who is head of a new cultural community arts program based in St. Joseph, and Justin Lee, who is directing a new community band, which we will hear about. And in the later part of the show, Gary Ambler, performing in a play called Tuesdays with Maury, part of the Krannert Center's Summer Studio Series, Theater Series, that is ongoing. And we'll hear from Gary somewhere around 12:30, 12:35. Thanks for joining us today on FM 90.9's Live and Local. The final movement of a septet for a trumpet, piano, and strings by Camille Saint-Saëns, a performance here by the Nash Ensemble on WYLL, FM and HD Urbana. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our program is coming to you from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunication, made possible by a generous gift from Alice and Robert Campbell. The Community Arts Resource is something we're going to hear about in just a moment, because it's going to be my first question for its president, Ross Bundy. And they have dreamed up the idea of a community band. Technical title is Community Summer Band, which is going to be led by Justin Lee. It's a new venture, and they're just getting started, haven't even given their first concert yet. So we're going to hear about that on the show today. Welcome, gentlemen, to both of you. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Justin, what is the Community Arts Resource? I meant actually Ross. I'm looking at Ross.
Very good.
We'll save the band questions for Justin.
That's fine.
Yeah, so our mission is to try to support arts in the area, the local communities, St. Joe and other communities around, and that includes any types of arts. So far, we've done a focus more on the music side, but we're open to all forms of arts. In fact, we've talked about doing an art exhibition as one of our next projects.
How long has this group, its organization, been around?
We started last October, and so far we've done a piano recital. We did that early in the year, and then the summer band is our second thing.
And who is we?
It's just a small group of people, friends of mine, other people who were interested in forming it. So do you want names?
Well, sure, if there's not too many of them.
Yeah. Denise Campbell is the vice president. Justin, of course, has played a real big role. Lisa Rubenacher is a person who's been very valuable to us and supporting us. Also, of course, my wife, Susan Bundy, has played a large role in that. She's involved in the high school arts club, not the club, but the supporters. I forget the right word. and there are others that have helped as well. So we have a small group of people that help pull these things together.
And are all these folks in St. Joseph?
Most of them are in St. Joseph. Justin actually lives in Champaign, but works down in Homer.
So the idea is not necessarily that this be a St. Joseph-based, exclusively serving St. Joseph, but some wider area?
Correct, yeah. Anybody who's willing to, especially with the summer band, anybody who's willing to attend the practices, we're welcome them in. In fact, we have people from Fithian, Thomasboro, Danville, quite a large range, a large area of people that have been involved.
And about the piano thing that was last fall, was it?
Mm-hmm.
How did that go? Who played? And tell me about the event.
It was actually pretty small. We figured it would be small getting started. We only had about seven people. performers. They did an excellent job. Our youngest, I think, was about 8, and the oldest was, I think, 13. It was a small performance, very short, but it gave the opportunity for the kids to play in a public performance. We actually had a decent audience. There was probably about 35 people that attended, so it wasn't too large. But again, it was just the start. We're hoping to do it again this year. We'll probably add more instruments to it as well, so we'll have a piano section and then other instruments.
And did you do this by competition or just checked with various teachers around and said, who do you have? Or
yeah,
we
really didn't feel it was appropriate with the age group to do it as a competitive event. So it was just a performance event.
And do you envision that the community arts resource, I mean, at this point is likely to mostly try to sponsor events or create events, pull things together, or do you imagine yourself growing into being something like an arts council at some point, or haven't you thought that far?
Yeah, I think that's really the purpose of it. I mean, we've done a lot of support, but our hope is that as things grow, that these organizations will spin off and take a life of their own, and that we'll really just be a resource for them to support them, to help organize events if they need them, to provide whatever resources. If they need music for a library, we can hopefully get them in touch with people that have music. If they need players of a particular type, then we can help connect those players together. So it's to act as a resource for people to pull and support the arts.
Have you looked at any of the other area arts councils to see what they're doing and how you might model yourselves on them?
We haven't. We need to do better at doing that. We have some connections with Champaign. We just haven't explored them very far yet. So,
well, that's why I was curious if you meant for it to be a broader-based thing or to have a little more narrow focus. I mean, the folks I've talked to most often have been with the 40 North, 88 West for Champaign County. What county is St. Joseph in? I should know.
Yeah, it's in Champaign.
It is in Champaign County, so it's already served by 40 North in some way or another. And whose idea was it to do the summer community band? Do I have the community summer band? Do I have the name right?
Actually, as of last night, the players have chosen a new name for themselves.
Okay.
We gave them, we asked for suggestions, and we received maybe 20 to 25 suggestions total. And we narrowed it down to 6, and we put it to a vote of the group. And they have chosen Cartoons. C-A-R for the Community Arts Resource, and then
okay.
Tunes is the second part of it.
So capital C, capital A, capital R, I suppose.
Actually, we're going to pilfer from Apple, and C-A-R will be lowercase with a capital T, and then U-N-E-S is lowercase.
Okay, very good, just like the Cartoons. Okay, so now I have to remember, that's actually a little easier to remember than the other thing I couldn't remember, Community Summer Band, but that is the point. So my question, I guess, was, who dreamt up the idea?
Well, we were at a meeting talking about the piano recital, and we were just looking for ways to bring people in. And one of the most common ways in a community to involve the fine arts throughout the country is a community band. In fact, I believe the state of Iowa has a law where you could actually pay for a band through community taxes. And while we don't have that luxury, we know we have some very strong music programs in the area. And I'm a music teacher. I direct band and choir, and I tell my students all the time that they're learning a wonderful lifelong art. But when they leave school, there aren't many opportunities. And so we're providing an opportunity for those students and for those people who had a great band experience and just want to keep playing.
And you teach in Homer?
I'm the band and chorus director for the Heritage School District.
I should talk to you at some point about youth orchestra that I do.
I'd love to.
Because it's difficult for me to connect with so many directors and the many programs around the area. What's your own background that led you to what you're doing now and that landed you the job of director of this thing?
Well, I've been at Heritage for 3 years. I have 7 years teaching experience in the band and chorus area. And I actually got a random email from Ross about this one time. And I decided to attend the meeting and see what it was about. And a couple meetings later, this idea generated into something with a life of its own. We started talking to area teachers and former students. In fact, our group has, I believe, at least 3 or 4 retired music educators and teachers from the area also participating, and a couple other professional musicians.
How did you put out the word that the band was going to happen?
Well, we did a large set of flyers, posters, I have a very large email listserv of former students and current students and parents, and area directors were all given information to share with their students.
So how many have you drawn? How many are in the band?
I believe we're looking between 35 and 45.
Yeah, right now we have 37 players for the first concert, but we've registered 43 total. So for the second concert, we're hoping to have 43 or maybe even more. We think we might pick up some players when we do our second concert. So,
and the two concerts you have scheduled, I just wrote it down, and you have it in front of you anyway, is July the 4th, appropriately enough. Always a good day for band. That's going to be in Homer at noon. Where will that happen?
In the community park on the east side of town, just south of the railroad tracks.
Okay, and then your second one on the 7th of August at 6:30 in St. Joseph. At what location there?
That's at Kolb Park, which is in St. Joe. It's about a block, maybe two blocks south of the high school.
And
it's on the Sydney slab, if that helps.
It doesn't help me, but it'll help somebody who knows the community better than I. But that's one of the reasons we're doing this on this program, is so all of our communities can feel a little more linked through the show and through the arts. Justin, you picked out a few tunes that you're going to be playing, I gather. And the first one is a Sousa tune. You want to introduce that for us?
This is one of Sousa's great marches, and it's a personal favorite of mine. My first year teaching, this was the first ever contest march my high school group did. This is Sousa's High School Cadets.
On Live and Local on FM 90.9. Music by John Philip Sousa called The High School Cadets. It was played by the U.S. Air Force Heritage of America Band, conducted by Colonel Lowell Graham. And you can hear that in performance at an upcoming concert by Cartoons, which is the name of the community band sponsored by the Community Arts Resource. Is that fair to say sponsored by? Is that an accurate term?
Or yeah, that's probably the best way to say it. That's right.
Okay, and my guests on Live and Local here for this portion of the program are Justin Lee, who is conductor of the band, and Ross Bundy, who is president of the Community Arts Resource. So, Justin, this tune is one that you're working on for the July 4th concert or the August concert?
High School Cadets will be on the August concert at this point, so...
And how did you go about choosing music for a group that I imagine when you first decided you were going to start it, you didn't have any idea what you were going to get?
Well, and that was the biggest problem, obviously. What I did was I raided my high school library, my junior high library, and I called a few other local directors and said, I need to look and see what you have. I ended up picking about 20 tunes, ranging in difficulty from very, very, very easy to a very solid high school piece. And actually, the easiest piece on our program is a Jack Bullock arrangement of Amazing Grace that I did with my sixth grade band for state contest this year. But it sounds wonderful with a large group.
And when the players came in, you know, saying, I'm interested in this band, after you put out the advertisement, how did you go about deciding, okay, you can be in, you can't be in, or did you just say you can all be in? How does that work?
We took everybody, and we also handed out music that night, and we said, take what you are comfortable playing. If you're a clarinet player who has not touched a clarinet in 20 years, you probably don't want to be picking all the first parts.
So is it a process of self-selection in this case?
Yes, and it's actually worked out very well.
So you did get somebody who said, I think I can play the first parts.
We actually have a music education major who happens to be from the area, and she is sitting in and is a phenomenal clarinet player.
Did it seem to be more common for somebody to say, I think I'll take second, or, yeah, I think I can play first?
We had a good mix of that. Some players, we have some very confident, very experienced players who have no problem picking up tough parts.
And things for, now, the some of the pieces that I think you one of the ones that we're going to do next is technically for wind ensemble.
Yes, it is.
What's the difference between wind ensemble and band? And particularly in your case, you must have sort of an odd instrumentation, I'm guessing, or did you just happen to have all the right people show up for all the instruments?
Well, the wind ensemble in itself is more a band of soloists, one to a part as they go. Concert band is multiple players on each part. We were very fortunate as we put the group together over the course of a couple of weeks, we turned out to have amazing instrumentation for a first-time group. We have a full woodwind section, a handful of flutes, some strong clarinets, two really good oboes, a good bassoon player. We have a couple French horns, all very talented, a decent trumpet section, an outstanding low brass section, great saxes, and a good-sized percussion section. So
you sounds like you got very lucky, or you did a great job of recruiting.
Well, we know where the holes traditionally are in concert bands. You go to any band concert in the area, especially for a small school, you'll see what they're missing. And so, yes, we found players in those areas, and we went and brought them in.
And where are those holes traditionally?
French horns, double reeds, and percussionists, not drummers.
Yeah, that's an interesting distinction. Double reeds, for those who don't know the term, is oboes and bassoons,
yes,
mostly.
And we actually have a bassoon as well.
Which can be hard to find. Mm-hmm. And then the distinction between percussionists versus drummers. You want to clarify that?
Actually, the way I talk about with my high school students is a percussionist is someone who has not only skills on snare and bass and drum set, but someone who's also a good mallet player, xylophone, marimba, bells, things like that.
And timpani.
Kettle
drums. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a drummer plays the drums.
Well, and it's not necessarily meant to be derogatory.
Right.
But yes, that's how we've sort of narrowed it down. I have a very, very wonderful high school drum line that is made up of snares, basses, and quads and cymbals. And they'll even say they're drummers, not percussionists sometimes.
Sure. Well, it's a distinction of instruments within mm-hmm. within the realm of percussion. And then there are, you know, other utility percussion, cowbells and tambourines and triangles and stuff like that, and which are remarkably difficult to play well.
Yes.
As I have discovered from personal experience. I think I may have told a story on this show once before about my experience playing the antique cymbals in Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun.
Yes.
It was frightening. And I never want to do it again.
The tough experience for my kids is a thumb roll on a tambourine. So,
which I think I know theoretically how to do, but probably couldn't pull it off. We're talking with Justin Lee, who's director of Cartoons, the newly named, as of last night, Community Summer Band, sponsored by the Community Arts Resource based in St. Joseph. And I think you said earlier, you've drawn the band from a pretty wide distance.
Yes, we have actually a band director from Martinsville. We have former students of mine who come from Allerton and Broadlands. We have people driving in from Oakwood, Thomasboro. It's a wide-ranging group that all comes together to play music they enjoy.
Including some music by Percy Grainger from his suite of pieces called Lincolnshire Posy. You want to introduce this next one? And is this one you're also planning
this piece
for the August concert?
This piece is also most likely to be on the August concert. We have a new arrangement of it by Andy Ballant. It is titled Horkstow Grange.
In performance here by the North Texas Wind Symphony from University of North Texas, Eugene Corporon is conducting here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
That was a movement that sort of ends mysteriously, and it's meant to go on, which is part of the reason for that. That's the second movement of the Lincoln Sharposi, a suite by Percy Grainger, played here by the North Texas Wind Symphony, led by Eugene Corporon. And it's slated for probable programming by Cartoons, the Community Arts Resource Summer Band, based in St. Joseph, that's performing in Homer on the 4th of July, a noontime show, and then we'll be performing again in August in St. Joseph on the 7th in the evening. And we're talking with Justin Lee, who's directing the band, Ross Bundy, who is president of the Community Arts Resource. Ross, you just indicated to me as we were listening to that that if somebody wants to get involved in the band, it is still possible, even though rehearsals have begun.
That's correct. We'll actually start rehearsals for the second concert on the 7th of July, but registration for the second concert will stay open through the 14th of July. So we're welcoming anybody who wants to play.
And rehearsals are when?
Every Tuesday night from 6:30 to 8 o'clock.
And is there a cost of registration? Is there a cost to be in the band?
Yeah, it's $25.
And other than that, once you pay that fee, you're in?
Once you pay the fee, you're in.
And I assume it's a volunteer experience?
That's right.
Okay. We talked yesterday with folks from the Danville Municipal Band, which was where I first heard the distinction between a municipal band and a community band. I had never known there was a distinction. And I guess the municipal band is supported by the community, by the whatever the town is, with finances. So they get a little money off that, which is good. And it just occurred to me, I had mentioned yesterday during the show that I used to play in the Hagerstown Band in Maryland, and that must have been a municipal band because we got paid, because that was very cool for me as a high school player to get that, although I think it wasn't much more than gas money by the time I drove down and back. And you also mentioned that you were sort of hopeful that if this is a big success this year and the next, maybe it could be an ongoing concern.
That's right. We hope that it probably won't be in the next few years, but a few years down the road that we might actually try to make it an annual, a year-long event, a year-long band.
And what is there, do you think, Justin, about band music that attracts so many people? I mean, it's really, the band seems to me like one of those Americanisms that goes along with hot dogs, apple pie, baseball, and you have bands in the summertime.
It's very much a comfort music kind of thing. We play things that are recognizable. We play things that are enjoyable, things you can tap your foot to. You know, our first program has a good range of patriotic music on it, and I believe everyone in the crowd will find something in there they like. We have a medley of service songs. We'll be playing all five songs of the Armed Forces. And we also have a newer piece by Elliot Del Borgo called Jefferson Portrait, which is a tone poem with a narrator who will be narrating sections of the Declaration of Independence over the band during that time. And I believe we have the Reverend C.W. Greer from Homer will be our narrator for that selection that time. So.
And this is that's a teaser for the July 4th concert.
Yes, it is.
The music we're playing is a teaser for the August concert.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
And also you're hopeful that the band will manage to pull these off, and it sounds like from the instrumentation you've got that shouldn't be any trouble.
Well, and after a few nights of rehearsals, I'm not worried about the music happening. They are a wonderful group with a lot of ability.
That's great.
I think we've been surprised at how many people were interested and how many talented players we really have. The band's come together really well, and the music, it's perhaps some of it's maybe a little bit on the challenging side, but we're playing it, and we're doing it well.
Well, and you said we, so that means you're playing it.
Yes, I play flute in the band.
And I'm trying to remember, did Justin mention that there were particularly talented flute players, or did he skip that segment?
I know I'm surrounded by talented flute players.
There you go. We're covered on all sides then. I really don't remember what he said about it, and he's staying mum. So. We have one more tune before we're going to sign off with you guys, and I appreciate your coming over. And then we'll be talking with Gary Ambler, who is performing in a play called Tuesdays with Maury. He's a veteran of lots of theater in our area, in particular with the Celebration Company at the Station Theater. This play is at the Krannert Center, part of their Summer Studio Theater series. And I'm looking forward to seeing that at some point, and we will hear about a little bit about Gary and about that play coming up in the second part of the show. At a minute past one, half an hour from now, we have news headlines from NPR. I'll do a weather forecast right before that. And I'll have a short look at our living music and theater calendar in just a couple of minutes after we hear this next bit of music. It sounds like a really exciting adventure, and apparently it was a good idea and a big hit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Judging by the turnout, as you said, surprised you. And if somebody wants more information, either to be in the band or to participate in the community arts resource, where would they go to get the information?
They can call me. The number is 469-0154. Or they can send me email. My email address is ross.bundy@yahoo.com.
ross.bundy@yahoo.com. And the phone number again?
469-0154.
And that is in the 217 area. This is for the Community Arts Resource based in St. Joseph. This is their second event with cartoons. Do you think people are going to wonder what that is? Are you going to have to explain, as I just was about to, cartoons, the summer community band of the Community Arts Resource?
We're going to make sure at the first concert an explanation is given, yes.
But it'll be a challenge in advertising, I imagine. Has anybody designed a logo yet?
We have not went that far, but we did have a brief meeting last night where some really interesting ideas came up.
Yeah, so. It begs a lot of different kinds of potential illustration. But clearly about music, and we're going to go out here with the last movement of a piece from which we played the first movement on yesterday's show. It's the second suite for band by Gustav Holst, and this last movement is the Fantasia on the Dargazon. What is that? What is the Dargazon? Do you know what that name even means? We're all mum on that.
No idea.
I'm not sure if it's a folk tune, but it's a
yes.
tune that exists, by some anonymous composer, I believe. But I'm going to have to look that up. Sounds like a job for Google and Wikipedia or something like that. Again, we're hearing the North Texas Wind Symphony led by Eugene Corporon. My guests today on Live and Local for this part of the show have been Justin Lee and Ross Bundy. And thank you all very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Fantasia on the Dargazon from the second suite for band by Gustav Holst. Eugene Corporon leading the North Texas Wind Symphony here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
General Manager Mark Leonard.
At WILL, our success depends on the financial support of the people we serve. The power really is in your hands. As we work to raise the remaining dollars needed to bring you the service you expect from us, I urge you to do what you can.
We're within $225,000 of our June 30th goal. Your pledge now at 217-244-9455 will help get us that much closer.
This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. My guest coming up is Gary Ambler, who is playing in Tuesdays with Maury at the Summer Studio Theater Company Productions at the Krannert Center. We'll be hearing about that and news headlines coming up at a minute past one. But first, here is a rundown of some of the theater and musical events in our area for the next few days. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana is presenting the musical The Full Monty. That is running tonight through the weekend, 8 o'clock performances each night. Zoo Improv is presenting their monthly Wednesday improv session at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. The Little Theater on the Square is presenting Singin' in the Rain. Performances today at 2 o'clock and at 8 o'clock, and then Thursday, Friday at 8 o'clock. On Saturday, two performances at 4 and 8 o'clock. Tomorrow, the Angelus Bell Choir of Grace Methodist Church in Champaign, I believe that's Urbana, are performing at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at Carl Clinic on University Avenue in Urbana. That's a free noontime show for about an hour. And the Summer Studio Theater Company is presenting The Mystery of Irma Vep. That is Thursday evening at 7:30. And I believe there's a repeat at some point on the weekend. And the Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater is presenting Forever Plaid. The Conklin's Barn is in Goodfield. The performance on Thursday starts at 8, or rather the doors open at 8. There's dinner and then the show. And that's also at 6 o'clock on Friday and Saturday as well, and Sunday for brunch. So those are some of the things going on in the next couple of days, and then the weekend full of activities as well. Tuesdays with Maury, filled with joie de vivre, according to the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette and the review by Julie Kistler. I have not seen the show yet. I'm looking forward to doing so. And the title character is played by Gary Ambler, who is a veteran of theater in our community, and particularly at the Celebration Company at the Station Theater. And Gary is with us on Live and Local. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for the invitation. I'm not sure how you become a veteran, but I've been being called a veteran for a while now.
It must be years. You become a veteran by doing something for a long time.
There you go.
And however a long time is defined, I imagine that varies. But how long have you been doing theater in this community?
In this community since 1975, so I guess that's quite a long time.
And from the way you said that, I gather you were doing it in other communities before.
No, I came here right after college and really wasn't expecting to stick around very long, but got involved with the Celebration Company and stuck around for a while. We had quite a vibrant company of people who were sort of like-aged for a number of years. And so we stuck around and played together for maybe almost a decade.
So you are one of the founding members of the company, is that
almost,
right?
Almost. It started a couple of years before I got to town.
And I had the privilege to work with you and some of those other early members a few years ago, or a couple of years ago. I'm not sure
when it was now.
That's
true, in one of our first productions.
Yeah, that was very funny. This was with the Prairie Ensemble, a group that I conduct, and we did a version of...
The Bremontown Musicians.
Thank you very much, the Bremontown Musicians. And... you and, remind me, who else was in that?
Mike Trapetti, Barbara Evans, and Ann Kearns.
Good. I didn't come prepared with that information, but it's an experience that I really enjoyed. And
we had a great time, and we really were revisiting those characters because we had played them in a show called Story Theater when we were very young.
How many characters have you revisited over the years?
Well, it's beginning to be more and more. But off the top of my head, I probably couldn't tell you.
Yeah, really don't need a number, but I was just sort of curious. But particularly since the station, which is mostly where you've performed, is that correct?
Yes.
In this area?
Yes.
Really seems to delight in bringing plays that haven't been seen around here before.
That's true. That's always been our calling, I think. And we continue to try to find the newest stuff and the newest voices. I think it's a great gift to this community that they allow us to do it, and another thing that they can support us doing it, because it's bringing theater that probably wouldn't be seen or heard from if we weren't doing it. So,
and theater in Champaign-Urbana, and I imagine throughout our listening area, is mostly a volunteer venture. Is that not true?
It is indeed. It is indeed, yeah.
And what do you do in the daytime?
During the day, I'm the admissions officer for the graduate program in the School of Architecture. I say that because... I can say that for two more weeks because I'm retiring at the end of June.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And then what?
And then I'm going to be retired. I hope to find some theater work and other things, I hope.
What got you started in theater?
It was one of those interests that I had when I was a kid growing up close to here in a small town, Illinois. And I played around with it when I was in high school and decided, with really no background to make me think that I could succeed at it, to major in it when I was in college. And so I went to Eastern and met really great people, and we just went from there.
So you did major in it in college?
Mm-hmm. Theater arts, yeah.
And did you at some point have the ambition to be a professional?
Oh, yeah, and still do.
I mean, you are a professional when you play, when you get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a professional when you
indeed
when
but
you
the
volunteer
thing is, I mean,
as well.
To have a life here, which I love, and to work in the theater, you can't really be a part of the union if you want to work. So I've sort of opted to be able to do the plays that I want to do without making much money at it.
Well, actually, clarify that for us, because that's probably a mystery to most theatergoers and to me as well. The role of the union in theater in this community.
There are some unionized actors, but I think without special permissions, and you can get them for academic theater, I think. And truly, I don't know enough about it to. I know enough about it to be dangerous, in my opinions, probably. But if you are doing professional work in the theater and in a professional theater, then they have to hire at least a certain amount of equity actors. We don't have any professional companies here.
Equity is the National Theater Union.
Yeah. Is the Actors Union.
And Actors Union, thank you, because the stagehands and so on will belong to a different union. So then in the case of most theater around, because nobody is paid to act, then anybody can be in it? Or if you're an equity actor, you can't be in a volunteer production?
That's where it gets complicated. The union, I don't think, really supports you doing non-equity work. So,
well, maybe if I remember to ask the question tomorrow of Henson Keyes.
Yes, and he is an equity actor.
He's an equity actor.
It would be interesting to know, but I'm assuming he has to get permission from the union to perform. But I frankly, I don't know. But well, the Summer Company is a professional company in that they are paying their company.
Well, that is what we're getting to next, and since I've mentioned it, I might as well just give the teaser for tomorrow's show. Henson Keyes, who is in two of the other shows for the Summer Studio Theater Company, in fact, he is one of the other shows, is going to be with us on Live and Local tomorrow, so we'll look forward to that. Live and Local is a program, if it is new to you, that focuses on music and, for the summer, on theater that's going on throughout our listening area. If you are involved with a performance or with a production or with an organization that you think your listeners would like to know about, and I imagine that if you're interested in getting an audience, you would like for our listeners to know about it, then by all means, tell me about you and your group and your event, and we will see what we can do on Live and Local to get you involved. The email address, easiest way to remember, is simply send it to willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu. And our programs today are made possible with support from, appropriately enough, the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, presenting A Midsummer Night's Dream, Richard III, The Tempest, and Scapin from June 25th through August 8th at the Ewing Manor in Bloomington. More information is online at thefestival.org or 309-438-8110. So the Summer Studio Theater Company, Gary Ambler, is in a way, it's not really a company. I mean, it's not an existing company that runs around and does plays.
Correct. The company is made up every summer of those people who are participating.
Of whoever gets asked. Mm-hmm. How do people get asked? Who organizes the thing?
You know, Brant Pope, who's the head of the theater department, is sort of the overall producer. My involvement came through Tom Mitchell, who is the director of Tuesdays with Maury. I mean, he asked me to to think about it and to be a part of it. So,
and tell us about the play. It's based on something else.
It is. It's based on Mitch Albom's book by the same title. And he, along with a playwright named Jeffrey Hatcher, adapted it for the stage. And it's quite a nice adaptation, I must say. I hadn't been familiar with the book. I'd been familiar with the book because it was hard to ignore. It was a phenomenon for a number of years, but I hadn't read it.
Is that the name of the book? Because it has escaped
Maury.
Me somehow all this time. So yeah.
Tuesdays with Maury is the name of the book. It was kind of a publishing phenomenon, and it got a big boost because Oprah Winfrey recommended it. So it was one of her books.
That is always helpful.
Yeah. But anyway, after I had read it, I had read the play first, I really sort of struck with how nice this adaptation is. I mean, he really does, the two of them have really sort of taken the essence of the lessons and these characters, these two men, and made a very nice play out of it.
And who are the two men, and what's interesting? I mean, what's the gist of the story?
Well, Maury Schwartz was a professor of sociology, Brandeis University. He had a mentor relationship with a student named Mitch Albom, and this was in the late 70s, I think. And they were close, and they had sort of, you know, promised to stay in touch, but Mitch graduated, and he didn't. It was 16 years before he caught up with Maury Schwartz again, and he wouldn't have, except that Maury came down with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. And
Maury was the teacher.
Maury's the teacher. And in some way got to be on Nightline with Ted Koppel. And so that's when Mitch discovered Maury again. He came to visit him, and they struck up this relationship again. Basically, they agreed to continue with a class about dying. And they met every Tuesday, and Mitch asked questions, and Maury talked about life, basically.
And this was a class just for Mitch?
Just for Mitch.
Wow. That just sounds touching just on the face of it.
It's very touching. It is. It's a very moving kind of experience. And that, I think that, you know, when I had heard about the book, I think that's why I kind of avoided it. I thought this is going to be strictly sentimental and maybe just too sweet. It turns out that it is very sweet, but it's not sentimental. I think Tom has done a very good job of keeping it simple and keeping us to the story and not sort of wringing emotion out of it. But I think our audiences have been very moved by it. It's a nicely told story.
And it is. It's a two-man show,
mm-hmm.
I gather.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the sound of it, you do most of the talking.
Not really. It's kind of an even-handed. He does offer the lessons. But, I mean, there's a bigger lesson that Mitch learns through the course of this class. I mean, he became in that 16 years that they were separated. He became quite a famous sports writer for the Detroit Free Press and had a very fast life and a very successful life. So one of the lessons that he learns from these Tuesday sessions with Maury is to get back in touch with sort of the real parts of life.
Which you get to teach.
Which I get to teach.
And what are you learning, or what have you learned from what have you learned from Maury?
He's an awfully great character to spend some time with, I must say, because for one thing, he's an excellent teacher, and he was always a teacher, and that's always what he wanted to do. So it is his great passion to give up himself and of his knowledge. But also, the journey that he takes after he finds out that he has this fatal disease makes him even more in touch with well, with life. You know, he says that once you learn how to die, you learn how to live, because you become aware of all the things that are important, or the most important things. So,
is the fact that he has this fatal disability, does that figure prominently in your portrayal of the role, or not so much?
It does, because it's debilitating and it happens quickly, and time, of course, is crunched on stage. But we see Maury on his feet, and then on a walker, and then in a wheelchair, and then finally, he's basically unable to move. It's an interesting piece of tension for the actor to work with. Plus, it's an interesting piece of tension for the other actor to work with, because he basically takes over all of the movement. He has to basically move Maury wherever he goes.
And for you as an actor, what have you found the challenges to be of this role?
That's hard to say, because I've so much enjoyed working on it and playing with it. So I guess the obvious thing would be to say that the physicalness of the character is the biggest challenge, but it truly hasn't seemed like much of a challenge to me. I think the biggest challenge as an actor dealing with material like this is to keep it true, to keep it simple, to tell the story.
Have you had favorite roles over the years?
Oh, many. And I'm often asked, and I never can come up.
And you can't say. The one that I haven't seen you all that often, the one that I particularly remember, and of course I'm sort of famously bad at remembering names of anything.
I can remember.
It was, I think it was Welcome to Tolono.
Oh, yeah.
What was the name of your character?
Red Merrill.
And he was...
He was an outrageous man.
Pretty outrageous, exactly. And is it possible to say that sort of outrageousness is typical of characters you play, or is there anything typical about characters you play?
I hope not, although I've been told by others that, you know, you tend to go toward these sort of more outrageous characters, or these sort of big characters, or odd characters. I think really, though, although I am drawn to character work, I think, you know, it's all sort of one thing.
And is Maury different from the other characters?
He is. I mean, he is a good man and a good soul. I mean, he's a very funny man, and that's one of the wonderful things about this play, is that it pulls up the humor of these characters. Which is very nice for the audience to be able to laugh through this, but no, he's not. I wouldn't call him outrageous.
When you're doing a two-person show, as this is, and I may ask a similar question of Henson tomorrow about his one-person show, and he's also the other.
He's also
it's interesting
a
that
character
play, the three plays this year involve a total of four actors.
That's right.
Two, three, four, yeah. two in this show, two in The Mystery of Irma Vep, Henson and another. And then the third one, which is called...
I Am My Own Wife.
Thank you very much, because I don't have it on that piece of paper, is Henson solo. But the question that I wondered about is when you see that a one-man show or a two-person show has a director...
Mm-hmm.
I'm always curious, well, how much does the director do and how much do the actors do? Because there's so few of you, can't you just kind of decide what to do on your own?
Well, no, not really. I mean, you do need an eye. And in a play like Maury, you need it needs to be choreographed. You need to be able to tell the story with movement and on a stage. This play takes place over a number of different Tuesdays and plus earlier times too. So it needs that kind of eye that can give it shape and to make each moment have meaning. So that's.
But I imagine there's a tremendous amount of give and take.
Yes. But I mean, that's kind of the way Tom works too. I mean, he's a very generous director.
This is Tom Mitchell, who is of the University of Illinois mm-hmm. Theater Department. And directing Tuesdays with Maury. We're talking, by the way, with Gary Ambler, who plays Maury in that show. And who's your counterpart?
My counterpart is Anthony Bianco, who just in May graduated from the MFA program in acting, and he's a terrific partner.
Is he someone you had known before?
Yes, but not very well. I was in a show, a student show at the Armory in the spring, and he was playing the lead in the show that we did then.
So did you get to know him in advance, or have you really gotten to know him in your roles, through your roles?
Well, you know, the way you get to know people through roles is it's kind of intense and interesting, but it's not like you really get to know.
Well, I wondered that particularly about this these mm-hmm. roles, because these are people who knew each other at one point and then are getting to know each other in a very different way now through these.
Yeah,
shows.
And I think that's, you know, that's kind of the way it works. I mean, you get to know your partner through the character first, and then, you know, and then
maybe a little better after that.
Yeah.
I know the shows that I've done, I always tend to forget the actual names of the actors, and all I can remember is the names of their characters. Mm-hmm. And then it's sometimes hard to separate if that's the only place in which you see them. Mm-hmm. But I imagine you all will probably work together again. And
I sure hope so. I sure hope so. He's about to leave town. He's leaving town right after the production closes. So,
well, Gary, thanks for coming on the Live and
Thank
Local.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
And best of luck with retirement.
Ah, thanks.
Which is coming up very soon. Gary Ambler from Tuesdays with Maury. You can see him at the station, not at the Station Theater, the Summer Studio Theater Company at the Krannert Center. Performances coming next are this Friday evening at 7:30, also Saturday at 1 o'clock, next Thursday the 25th, and then a few after that. For more information, go to krannertcenter.com. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's going to be partly sunny, warm, and humid today with a high of 85. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, the low 66. Tomorrow, partly sunny, hot, and humid. A thunderstorm is possible in the afternoon. The high tomorrow around 90. It's currently 82 degrees. News headlines are next. This is WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.